Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in for our midweek service here at Westside Christian Fellowship. My name is Pastor Abram Thomas. I have the privilege of serving here on staff, and we're thrilled that you've joined us tonight for our study. And we are tonight going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up there with me. And the book of Proverbs, I've heard it said this way, a proverb a day will keep the devil away. And Proverbs, of course, was written by Solomon, who was, of course, the second wisest man who ever lived behind the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, of course, was given wisdom and, of course, from God. And he wrote these, of course, these Proverbs to his son and wisdom that would be practical for our lives. And I believe at some point in each one of our lives, myself, many times in the day, I need wisdom from God. And so tonight we're going to be studying in Proverbs. And the topic tonight, something that's been something we've all experienced over the last few months, that we've all dealt with and struggled with to some degree, is the topic of anger. Anger. How many of you, if you're honest, have been angry over the last few months over something? How many of you have been outraged over something or someone? Anger is something that we all deal with. And let me just begin with the fact that anger in itself is not a sin. The Bible says you can be angry, but sin not. But tonight we're going to look at the alternative. A foolish man or woman lets their tempers and their anger control them. And this is dangerous. This is not good. This is the type of culture we're seeing develop around us, where we have this sort of outrage culture today. Everyone's outraged. Everyone is offended. Everyone is ready for a fight. Well, Christians, we are called not to be of this world. What we've been learning, we are called to be different, distinct in the world. And so we're going to learn from God's word tonight what the danger is with anger. So if you need a title for tonight's message, it's Danger in Anger. Let's read Proverbs chapter 14. We'll start reading in verse 16. The Bible says, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." Verse 17, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated." Let's pray, and then we'll get right into our study tonight. Father, I just pray that you would speak now as we open your word, as we sit at your feet tonight. And I ask that you would increase us in the knowledge and the wisdom that only you can give. Lord, you say if we lack it, we can ask of you, and that you give to men liberally, Lord. And I just pray that tonight, as we hear from your word, the truth concerning anger, and that we would look at our lives and see if anger is something that we've allowed to go unbridled, and ask for you to fill us afresh with your spirit so that we could have a temperament of the Holy Spirit in our life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for those who are watching from around the world, Lord, that this message would be a blessing to them and a practical help to them in their lives, Lord. I pray for anyone who may tune in tonight without Christ, Lord. That's the main thing is to be saved, Lord. And I pray that they would repent and turn to you for salvation, Lord. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you accomplished in this time for us. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen. In spring of 1894, the Baltimore came to Boston to play a routine baseball game. But what happened that day was anything but routine. You see, the Orioles Orioles' John McGraw got into a fight with the third baseman on Boston. And within minutes, all the players from both benches had begin to brawl. They emptied the brawl began and began to spread and even into the fans in the stands. And then it went from bad to worse, and someone thought it would be okay to set fire to the stands there in Boston. And the entire ballpark was burned to the ground. Not only that, but the fire spread to 107 other buildings in Boston. It was a horrific night. And it all started with some tempers that got heated. You see, anger can be very deceptive, and it's very explosive in nature. Anger left unbridled in the life of any individual can cause mass destruction. And so in Proverbs, we heed the warning of God through his servant Solomon of those who are angry, those who are controlled by that anger, those with short fuses, how there is danger in anger. Now, all throughout the book of Proverbs, we see a clear contrast between the wise, those who follow after God, those who seek him out, who have a desire to walk in his wisdom. And then we see the contrast of those who would be categorized as foolish, those who do not mind God or fear God or have any respect for God. And so we see this clear contrast here in these very same, in this text here in Proverbs 14. We see, first of all, the contrast of a wise man. Look what the Bible says. It says, a wise man fears. Now, in this text, it does not say the words, it does not reference the Lord, that a wise man fears the Lord. But it would be very telling, and I believe it would be very appropriate, and I believe the context of this portion of this verse is saying that a wise man or woman fears the Lord. They have a healthy respect, a strong respect for God. The Bible says this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, the fear of the Lord, a respect for God, it will be in our lives a preservative. It will help us to not fly off the handle. It will help us to think through things rather than just react. The fear of God and a respect for God and his authority and his power will change the way that we handle things. I have 5 kids and we have another one on the way, and it's very telling how when my wife may be homeschooling, doing something with one of the kids, and you know, they get distracted, they get deterred by something and they're not focusing, and if I happen to be at the table too and she has to take a moment to correct them, and I see them turn their eyes directly at me, like, what is Dad gonna do? Is he gonna correct us too? You know, mom is talking, but mom is a little bit more grace-filled a lot of the times, and she shows a lot more mercy at times than maybe I would be known for. And so they have a healthy respect for Dad. They know that they may be told something 2 and 3 times from mom, but Dad is really only going to tell them 1 time. And there's a healthy fear, may I say, there. And I say this, our world, the church as well, it seems that we've lost our respect or our fear of God. That we don't have too many people who would call themselves God-fearing individuals. We fear men. We fear other things. I swear if we feared God like we feared COVID-19, there would be a much different scenario playing out in our culture. If men of God feared God more than the faces of men, there would be a much different message given in pulpits every Sunday. If there was a healthy fear of God in our nation, things that are being elevated would never even be spoken of publicly. I'm saying tonight, the wise, those who are following God, they have a healthy fear of God. God is nothing, no one to play with. I remember growing up and, you know, I had a single mom and she's all of 5'5", and you know, of course I quickly, you know, surpassed her in height, but I always had a healthy fear of my mother. I did not play with her. I knew she gave me a list of chores to do. That when she got home, those chores better be completed. Those tasks better be completed. Obedience was not something that was optional in our household. And I thank God for a mother who lovingly disciplined me when I stepped out of line, who lovingly showed me that I would answer to authority all my life, so I should learn to do so as a child. And may I say this, parents, we have to be consistent and loving in our nurturing and raising up our children, and we have to instill in them a awe and a respect for God, for authority. What we're seeing in our culture play out today is a whole generation that has not been taught, has not been modeled before them a fear, a respect for authority, and is having tragic results in our world today. The wise man has a strong respect for God, a fear of God. But I also see that the wise man, he's slow to anger. He's not like the man who or woman who flies off the handle. He's slow to anger. He's not going to go down that path. He's going to depart, the Bible says, from evil. The Bible says this in Proverbs 16 and verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, we live in a culture that tells you those who get revenge, those who stand up and fight for themselves, those who are quick to be angry, quick to react to being hurt or in some way, those are the ones who have strength. Those are the ones who have power over those who have the ability to carry out what they see as justice. But may I say this, the Bible teaches a way, different way of handling when we are upset, when we are hurt, when we are bruised. Abuse, and it says that we should be slow to anger. And that's better than the mighty, better than those who are strong, better than those who have no rule over their spirit, better than those who react, who have no control over their tempers. We've got to teach this to our families. We got to live this out in our culture. It will impact it so much. Proverbs 19:11 says this, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It says a man who has godly discretion, who can see through a matter, who can see where something will end up if he reacts, he will defer his anger. You know, meekness is not weakness. Really, meekness is strength. Have you ever seen a lion? Have you watched those documentaries and how the lion, the king of the jungle, the beast who has no rival in the wild, when he's or she, and she's picking up her cubs and she grabs them in that powerful mouth that could break bones, that could that take down animals as large as elephants. She picks up those little cubs though from the back of the skin on their neck and carry them from place to place, and she's gentle. She has the strength to crush that cub, but she doesn't. It's strength under control. And what I'm preaching to you tonight is that a wise man or woman, they have the ability to win an argument. They have the ability to dismantle someone on social media. They have the ability to poke holes in someone's arguments or what it may be. And they may win every debate, but they choose not to go into it. They defer to the Holy Spirit. Problem today is many of us aren't filled with the Spirit, so our temperaments reflect so. But the Bible is saying a wise man, he has a fear of God, he has a respect of God, he hates evil, he departs from evil, he's slow to anger, he's slow to react, he's not going to go down that path. And I also see that he, in Proverbs, it talks about a wise person gives a soft answer. Proverbs 15:1, the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer, but grievous words stir up anger. Oh, if we act like this on social media, If we live this out in our marriages, if we live this out in our homes and in our day-to-day interactions with people, if we would learn to be led by the Holy Spirit and react in such a way that pleases God and does not stir up anger. I heard of a young mother who was driving with her little boy around the street, and little boy asked the boy, he said, "Mommy, why do all the idiots come out when daddy drives?" See, that little boy had been watching his daddy and how he'd get upset and get involved in road rage and calling people names. And he's modeling this in front of his son. And I'm saying to you, we have got to be led by the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And we have to learn that when those accusations come our way, when people malign us and say things about us and what we believe, we should not be always ready to argue, always ready to come back with them, go into contention with them. We ought to be willing to de-escalate things, because that's what God says we should do. A soft answer turneth away wrath. We've got to live this. See, a wise man has a healthy fear of God. He gives soft answers to those who come after him with anger. He also stays away from angry people. He's not in the group of those who display the opposite of what we've been learning. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 24. The Bible says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." See, I've experienced this in my younger days. When I was not living for the Lord, I had a group of friends, and we'd go out, and one of my friends in that group, his brother would tag along with us, and his brother was older than us, just by a few years, but we would go out, and it seemed like everywhere we went, my friend's older brother would get into conflict. He would get into a fight, and then we would be forced to be involved in that. And, you know, of course, God got a hold of my life in my early 20s, and I stopped, of course, running with that crew and going and partying and doing those things. But a few years after I had been out of that, I ended up attending the funeral of my good friend's older brother. You see, he had went to a party. He had, I guess, talked to the wrong person the wrong way. A fist fight ensued, and he won the fist fight. He thought it was over. He was leaving to get into his car when the person who he lost the fight with had went and got a firearm. He began to chase him, and my friend's brother ran, but ultimately caught up with him and took his life. It was tragic. So I went to that funeral. I'm just saying, we as believers, we should not be known as those who fly off the handle. We should not hang out with those who are angry, who are constantly in conflict, constantly at the drop of a hat, ready to go to battle. And that's not who we should call our closest friends. Okay. So we see the wise man, the first contrast, we see the wise man, he's one who fears God, he shows respect for God, he has a healthy fear of God in his life, he's slow to anger, he knows, and she knows how to give a soft answer when those harsh words come their way, and they stay away from those who are angry. But I want you to see the contrast, the alternative, that is a foolish man, an angry man. I want you to see about them. What does the Bible say about a foolish, angry man? The Bible says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool," listen to this contrast, "the fool rageth and is confident and is self-confident." On the other side of this is the foolish man. And the Bible says about this foolish individual that they are self assured. They are self-confident. They're full of themselves. And they said that I can handle this. They feel like they can back up anything that they would say. And I heard about a man who lived in a small county, and he was big and bad and tough, and he knew it. And he put a local ad in the paper, and he said, I'll pay a man $100, any man $100 who can beat me up. I'll challenge anyone in this county, in my city, to a fight. And so that went in the newspaper, and it went unanswered. No one challenged from the city. No one challenged him for that money. This is back in the day. $100 was a large sum of money. And so this man was feeling good about himself. He was feeling proud that no one even had the audacity to try to challenge him. And so he put out into the county paper the same ad. He said, oh, all right, I'm going to put this out in the county ad. Now, this county ad included several different cities, a much bigger territory. And so he said, I'll give $100 to any man who can whip me in a fight. And so the ad went out, and one day he got a knock on his door. And there was this big guy, about 6'6", about 270 pounds, and he's standing at the door of this man. He shows him the ad. He said, hey, are you the gentleman from this ad? Is this true? You'll give me $100 if I can beat you in a fist fight? And this man was still so proud he wouldn't back down, even though he knew he was in for something. And he said, yeah, that was me. And so they went out back, and of course, this guy, 6'7", 270, he whooped the tar out of this man. And he had to pay him his money, and he had to, of course, he had to deal with the shame of that. And you see, that's the type of person that I'm speaking of here, a foolish man. He's self-assured. He's self-confident. You know, he thinks that he's able to do more than he obviously is capable of. The psalmist said in Psalm 118, verse 8, he said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You see, Paul, he was one of the greatest, of course, believers who have ever walked the planet. But he said this, he says, I know that in me, that in my flesh, it really dwells no good thing. I don't trust this flesh. I don't put any confidence in me. I know me. I know I fall short. And this is not what the foolish man lives. He does not have an ounce of humility in his life. He's fleshly. He's led by his appetites. I heard this saying. It's very telling. It says this, the voices of the world. It says, appetites say, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied, please yourself. Psychology says, be confident, fulfill yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. But God says, be wise and humble yourself. I thought that was so true. Let's be honest. To some degree, we all struggle with pride, being self-confident, and that's not wise. It's not wise even to compare ourselves to one with others. And the standard has always been and will always be the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we all use that as our metric of standing, we would all fall very, very, very short of that. So there should not be any of us within the body of Christ who is self-confident. We need to be Savior confident. The foolish man is self-assured, but he's also swift to anger. Look what the Bible says. He is confident, and the Bible says in verse 17, he that is soon angry. So in the same context, it's talking about the foolish man. He's soon angry, and he dealeth foolishly, the Bible says. He's swift to anger. Proverbs 14:17. And I'm saying this, if you are a person who you lose your temper at the drop of a dime, if you are constantly angry with things, angry with what you see on TV, angry, 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 then it might be that you fall into this category of the fool. We don't want to be here. That was the worst thing you can call a person in Bible times. Is a fool, a foolish man or woman, is swift to anger. Not only are they swift to anger, but they also stir up strife. They cause problems to happen. They have the tendency to stir things up. The Bible says here in Proverbs 29 and verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and he's furious, and he abounds in transgression. See, that anger unchecked, it causes strife. It causes fights. It causes things to happen that never need to happen. Proverbs 15:18 says it, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger allays contention. You see, men and women who are full of anger, they love strife. They love to argue. They love contention. They love to have that in their lives. They're looking for it. Yesterday I was here at church and it was a great time we had in prayer. And I just want to encourage those of you who are local, if you can make it to any of our 10 to 12 p.m. Prayer meetings, they've been phenomenal. God has been just showing up, and we've been having an awesome time together, praying and lifting up our country and our families and worshiping God in this place. And so I'm coming out of this time, and you know, I'm always encouraged. I'm always built up when I'm with God's people, and we're being the church. And so our secretary here had a call, a caller, and she said, hey, can you take this call? I have a guy who's calling, and he has a Bible question. And I said, sure, I'd love to take it. And so went over to my office and I answered the phone and I said, hi, how you doing? You know, my name is Pastor Abram and I'd love to try to help you with your question. And so he rattles off a question to me, but the way that he says it, I can already see that he's looking for a fight. He's looking for a debate. And so I'm talking to this guy and I'm trying to answer the question, but I can't get two words out, and he's cutting me off and asking me more and cutting me off. And I'm going to be honest with you. Good thing I had been studying this, you know, because I about got angry with the guy. And I said, but I finally said to the guy after a while of this going on and him just being angry and contentious on the phone. And I said, sir, did you really call to ask a question? And I used the soft answer. And he's like, yeah, I did call, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, sir, today is my birthday. And you know, I have some things planned. And to me, it seems like you really don't want answers. You want a debate. So I'm sorry. I just can't do that with you today. And so you have a blessed day. Goodbye. Yeah, I was reminded just yesterday that there are individuals, those who claim to be believers, who are filled with that angry spirit, who are looking for ways to start things and to stir up things. We get emails all the time. We hear it, and I am baffled how this is the case. You see, because the fruit of the Spirit is still love, still joy, still peace, still long suffering. And it's just very evident that a lot of Christians need to be filled afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit. You see, my temperament is different when I am walking with God. My temperament is different when I am worshiping. My temperament is different after I come here and I spend time on my face before God and shed tears for the goodness of God and lift up prayers for my family, for this church family, for our nation, for the direction that it's heading. My temperament is different after that. May I say, this is what it should be for the believer. We should be impacted by the Holy Spirit. It should rule our lives. But the Bible says that the foolish man who doesn't fear God, he stirs up strife. He's filled with anger and ultimately he suffers anguish. Proverbs 19:19 says this, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Let me tell you what, I've seen it happen so many times. Those with big tempers, they end up ruining things. They end up losing that relationship, that marriage. They end up alienating their children. They end up suffering because of it. It is nothing to play with. Anger will destroy you. It will destroy you from the inside out. And so I'm pleading with those today who struggle with it. I've met people all the time, even within the church, say, well, that's just the way I am. That's the way my mother was. That's the way my father was. That's just the way I am. No, my friend, you cannot say that as a believer. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, you have a choice. And the Bible says that the foolish man, he will suffer if he chooses to live a life filled with wrath. And the Bible says that if you rescue this man, verse 19, Proverbs 19, you will have to do it again. They don't learn from past mistakes. They don't change. If you're with an angry, if you're in an angry relationship right now, and you know it. They come back after they realize they've made a mistake and they apologize, but down the line it's the same thing. And so this is something that if you have this struggle in your life, or if I have this struggle in my life, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. We have to seek God and the filling of His Spirit in order to have a different temperament, in order to have true repentance, to turn away from this stronghold. And I understand this. I come from generations of this, and I've seen it play out, and I know it doesn't end well. And so this is why, one of the reasons why I am on my face, and this is one of the reasons why we have to, as Christians, be filled with the Holy Spirit, because suffering will come if we do not. The Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 and verse 27, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Every time I do marriage counseling with couples, and I tell them, hey, this is something that you have to take to heart. Do not go to bed angry. Because when you do, you wake up the next morning and the fight just continues, and it's like giving place to the devil in our lives when we allow anger to fester and bitterness to develop in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He's talking to a church there in Ephesus. He's talking to God's people, and he's saying, hey, you need to put aside that bitterness, that wrath, that anger. Oh, would be to God that we would be a people who would not allow bitterness to be in our hearts and anger to be our temperament. If we would be filled and with the Spirit, the rest of the verse in verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is what we are called to live out in Jesus Christ. Be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving. This is what we're called to be. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I heard about a man, he was a drunk, and he was a belligerent drunk. He'd come home and he'd hit his wife, and they had a little girl, and she saw this play out day after day in this poor woman's life and in this family's life. They were afraid of this man, and one day he came home drunk in a stupor, and he was beginning to do the very same thing he'd always do and start a fight with his wife and abuse her. And as he was beginning to go that route, he was running, going to the room to begin this fight, and he tripped over his own feet, and he saw his daughter's bedroom door cracked, and he saw her on her knees, and she was praying out loud to God, saying, God, please save us. God, please save my daddy. God, please. The man was instantly convicted. Right there, he repented of his sin. He trusted Christ right there. From that day on, he was different. And he ended up being a preacher, an evangelist, used mightily of God. And it was because of the prayers of this little girl. It turned an angry drunk into now a man who had a different temperament. He was now a loving father and a Christian daddy and husband, and now a man who served God. And it's an amazing story. And I'm saying to you and to me myself as I preach this, we name the name of Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. There should be the evidence of that in the way that we live our lives. You should not be angry people, defined as angry, foolish people. We should be kind. We should be forbearing. We should be gracious. We should esteem others better than ourselves. We should not be caught in the culture today, the outrage culture where everyone, it's always outraged and always in the uproar, always wanting to cancel people. Listen to that. That's a statement today. They'll find a tweet from 8 years ago that they don't agree with, and they'll bring it to the surface and cancel you. I'm so thankful that when I was 20 or so years old, the most social media we had was MySpace. I think Facebook was just coming out, and a lot of this stuff that I was into was not being recorded. I wasn't tweeting about it, or you know what I'm saying? I'm so thankful for that. But we live in a different day where everyone is just outraged, full of anger, wanting revenge. But the Bible says that's the foolish man. That's the one who is going to see the danger of anger. They're going to see the destruction that comes from that. But a believer, the wise man and woman, we should flee as far away from that as possible, because we know where that leads. Let me encourage us tonight. Let's listen to the admonition from the Word of God.